Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm going to start this program out a little differently, and I'm going to ask you, no, I'm going to tell you to drop and give me 20. I'll make it 40. And if you persist, I'll double that to 80. Give me 80 right now. Because today's program, we're going to get you fit, and we're going to get you ready for whatever you are wanting to do with your life, focusing on your life's purpose, because we're going to focus on eating and living and thriving, because we're going to focus on, yes, it is a particular quote-unquote diet, but I've always believed that diets aren't really diets. It's more a question of modifying your overall lifestyle. Our guest today on the program is the co-author of Eat, Live, Thrive and Eat, Live, Thrive Diet. It's a lifestyle plan to rev up your midlife metabolism. The co-author, along with Robin Thompson, is Dana Dimitri. And Dana, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
It's a pleasure, Richard.
Now I want you drop and give me 20 right now. I don't think that's how this diet works.
We'd love exercise. That's an important part. But I'm not going to drop and do 20 right now.
Okay. You familiar with a gentleman by the name of the late Jack LaLanne?
Oh, yes. I'm 67, so of course I know who he is.
My mother just celebrated her 85th birthday on the 17th of September, and I remember him as a kid growing up, watching him on our old black and white, and she was there doing her exercises and all of that kind of stuff. I still remember when he got in the water and pulled, I think it was, he pulled a boat. I think it was.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's like, really? And what does that prove? But he was unbelievable. The energy, the stamina that man had was just incredible. And he really, he encouraged people. He didn't beat them up and say, well, you know, or anything of this nature. I can only imagine what his in-person fitness sessions were like. Now, you and your co-author, Robin, have written this book, have put this together. And I know that the word diet is on there, but I have never been on a diet.
Good.
Never.
You have, Richard. You're on a diet every day because your diet is really how you eat.
Okay, so if we define that as yes. It's a regular part of our daily lives and not something that come January 2nd or 3rd after the holidays and we've been binging like you wouldn't believe on food and drink, then we buy the latest book off the shelf that basically it is the ABC 1-2-3 diet. And then you'll do that for maybe 2-3 days, weeks maybe, and then forget about it because it's just getting ridiculous. I've modified over the years my diet, and that makes it a lot easier. I have reduced my soda and my dairy intake considerably, and again, trying to get as much exercise as I can. But do you have any idea how hard it is to do these interviews and exercise at the same time?
Well, you can't do them at the same time.
I mean, the heavy breathing, it's just too graphic. Yeah. You just can't do that.
Yeah. You do it before or after. But you're right. It's all about lifestyle. And that's why our subtitle is A Lifestyle Plan to Rev Up Your Midlife Metabolism. Because we have a philosophy that we need to lose weight the same way we plan on keeping it off. Because, you know, we know all sorts of diets, quote unquote, work. There's liquid diets, extreme diets. There's fad diets. And we know that they can get weight off. But we also know, you know, research has shown us for years that only about 5% of people who lose weight keep it off. And those that keep it off, there are a couple key things. One is they've actually made a permanent lifestyle change. The second is that they have some support. They somehow, whether it's in, a friend, an accountability partner, a group, I know we do online virtual coaching, that makes a huge difference. And the third thing is they change their mindset. And so we really try to address all of those things in Eat, Live, Thrive. and help people. We have a cyclical approach. There's three phases to the diet, but they are going to, They are basically going to use the three phases cyclically and live in the lifestyle phase probably 80% of the time.
Well, you know, it's interesting, as I said before, how we do those fad diets over the years. Some folks, they'll go out and they'll buy the latest book, you know. But there's another frustrating element for us, even if we're not dieting, and that is the numerous reports that come out every year, sometimes more often. And let's take eggs, for example. We have chickens, and we get organic eggs from our girls.
I do, too.
Yeah. And there will be a report that may come out today that says that eggs are bad for you. Stay away from them. Reduce your intake because here's the reason why. Blah, 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 blah. Tomorrow, someone will come out and say, eggs are really good for you. They're going to support your metabolism. They're going to help you have strong bones and teeth and make you able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Go right ahead and consume as many eggs as you'd like. And then the next day, it's back to day one. And then day four, it's back to day two. And it's just like back and forth. And they say that about coffee and pasta and this and that and the other. Tell me how you get over that ridiculous. I'll be honest with you, it is. It's a ridiculous hurdle that a lot of people buy into.
It is. And the challenge, Richard, is where you're getting your information, number one. And really, you know, where is the source of the best and not always the latest, greatest. I mean, there's studies all the time, but what kind of study? Is it a double blind? Who actually sponsored the study? So often they're self-serving. And of course, everybody out in the news world is trying to make, you know, cutting edge news. And so that's why it can be very, very confusing. We as authors, my co-author and I have made it our quest, one, to be excellent researchers, but also to have some excellent sources that we really trust and have vetted over the years. And we have two advisors that are part of our book. Dr. Mark Stengler has been both of my Robin and my naturopath. He's a naturopathic MD for, oh my gosh, over 20 years. And then a very good friend of mine who now, she's had multiple degrees in nutrition, but she now actually even has her PhD. Her name is Patty Milligan. And again, I've known her probably for 25 plus years and know just where they get their information. They are so abreast of all the studies that they know how to sift and sort, you know, the garbage. And it's not, you know, Patty had said years ago, nutrition is a soft science. There's a lot of, first of all, there's a lot of opinions. Second of all, people's bodies are different, and there is not a one-size-fits-all, you know, approach to healthy eating and dieting, and that's why part of what we do in Eat, Live, Thrive is we help people discover what we call their food culprits. So for some people, you know, eggs could be a problem because of sensitivity or allergy. For others, they're not. Most experts now, the quality ones, if you sift the information, just using your example as eggs, really don't believe that cholesterol issues are as much dietary related as they are hereditarily related. And so there are supplements and natural things we can do to keep our cholesterol in a healthy range. But even the cholesterol issue has been so out of whack. And guess who gave us the most inaccurate information? The American Heart Association.
There's a shocker.
They were telling us to eat, you know, margarine for all these years, for heaven's sake, margarine full of trans fatty acids. They were telling us, you know, to watch our eggs and so forth, and not paying attention to the fact that our brain needs cholesterol. It needs it. And so there's just a lot of misinformation out there. And you know, who funds American Heart Association the most? Probably Big Pharma. And I'm not a conspiracy theory gal, but truth is, in America, you know, things are very much influenced by the dollar. And so you have you have to sort, and it's tough. And we're not saying that we have absolutely carte blanche accurate information on top of everything, because it is a jungle out there. But we are so dedicated to doing the very best we can to sort it out, so our readers go, they're just not talking off the top of their head with the latest, greatest opinions. We relied on our experts a lot. For every page that we wrote was reviewed. So that I feel like our readers can feel confident that we've done our research, we're giving the best information we can with the information that's out there right now, and also, again, helping them discover the foods that are going to work for them. How many carbohydrates? Which grains? We basically take people on an elimination diet for the first phase for about 14 days. And there's three different levels, so they can start as simple as removing all sugar and grains for 14 days and then slowly bringing them back in to test them. Nobody really needs to test sugar. We don't need it. But how much can you tolerate and still be healthy and lose weight and all those kinds of things? And then we, in that discovery phase, if they bring foods back in, and some of them will go to level three and actually take out nuts and legumes and dairy and all sorts of things just to see what their body really can handle. And they discover amazing things, which moves them to lifestyle, where they can start saying, that food is really bad for me. That food's a caution food. And these foods were great for me. And now the question is, how much? And so these are ways that are very simple to customize an eating plan. And you know what works better than any study is your body telling you how you feel when you eat certain foods.
And therein lies the crux of the issue more than anything else. I was actually going to go in a different direction, but I'll go this way first. There is a method, okay, that people can use to test anything and everything that they take into their bodies. And quite honestly, we're talking about through all five senses. You may be familiar with it. There are some different names that people might give it, but it's because the body doesn't lie. And this technique, which I learned some, 30, 35 years ago, kinesiology.
I knew you were going to say that. Applied kinesiology. Absolutely.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The body doesn't lie.
A good practitioner can definitely help you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I still remember the gal who taught me. She lived in Phoenix, Arizona, or at least I think in northern Phoenix. Name was Carol Kepler. And actually, her son was responsible for getting me involved in computers back in the mid-90s. I thought there was this red button hidden somewhere on the keyboard that would blow everything up. And so I didn't want to touch computers because I didn't want to blow anything up. And then I found out there was no red button. There also is no any key either. You know how I said, push any key to continue? Where's right. The any key? Where I can't find the any key. So she taught me how to do this. Very simple. And she says, you can do this with anything, whether it's in the grocery store when you're pulling something off the shelf and you just do the quick little muscle test and so on and so forth. And it's just and then I think that there would come a point where your intuition could actually kick in if you can trust your, because we talk about that a great deal on this program. So doesn't you think there might come a point where maybe kinesiology is sort of a transition point to one's own inner voice telling them, no. Because I go into a grocery store. I'll go into a convenience store that's just across the street from the radio station where I work. And I'll go over to the back where they have the refrigerators filled with the sodas, right? And I'll look at that and I think, okay, so will the flavor, the taste, and all of that stuff be worth my feet starting to hurt because of the return of whatever inflammation comes along. Am I willing to go down that path? And most of the time I say, nah. And I'll grab a water. I'll grab anything but. Okay. I will tell you that seltzer water and sparkling water drinks, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic, have actually for me, have really helped to curb my soda intake.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know. I mean, it's sometimes it's the lesser of evils, and I have nothing against sparkling water. I drink a fair amount myself. I think the biggest thing when we're adding sparkling water is to make sure we're adding more minerals in. We need to, most of us need to add minerals to our water, unless you're drinking from a wonderful well water or something like that. We're drinking and necessarily filtered, you know, bottled, or I have a great filter in my home, and it's stripping the minerals. And so what we do know about seltzer or any kind of sparkling water is it does tend to strip the even more minerals from our body. So adding minerals, we use something called Concentrace. You can find it on most health food stores or Amazon or whatever, but that is actually really important if you love those sparkling waters. And I do too. I make my own homemade ginger ale.
Oh, wow.
Apple cider vinegar, a little bit of lemon juice, a little bit of ginger, and you can add a little cinnamon if you want to. It's actually part of one of our components of our diet during, we call level 3 of elimination, kind of a gentle cleanse. We have a little drink, which is just what I said, that you can either put in water or hot water, cold water, kind of dilute it and swig it every morning before every meal. It's great for digestion, detoxification, but it makes a great ginger ale when you add it to sparkling water. And you add a little bit of stevia, which is a healthy sweetener, actually proven to help balance blood sugar. And so it's very satisfying. So there's so many ways, and you're right. I mean, soda is one of the worst things we can do, diet or full sugar, that just, you know, wreaks havoc with our health.
Well, and that's what's interesting is that there are so many things out there. And I remember hearing this when going into a grocery store specifically. It was always recommended, and this goes back to the 80s when I was first learning about all of these things. Shop from the ends of the store. Do yep. not shop in the middle.
Exactly. All the fresh food is on the outside. We just did a YouTube video, went shopping at a common, you know, national grocery store chain. And we spent most of our time on the outside because you even have to discern a little bit out there, and then a little bit in the aisles because we know people need a few convenient foods. But you're exactly right. That's where the produce is. That's where the dairy is. That's where the meat is. It's also where the bakery is.
Well, that's true, too. Oh, and then the rotisserie chicken.
Yeah, there you
I
go.
I like that. I'll tell you what. Although I will, where was I? I was actually at a deli across the street from Sansom Clinic here in Santa Barbara, and they do serve pretty good food there, and they had this fried chicken, and I have this is literally for years, I have been craving KFC. Mm-hmm. I know how great that is for the body and the metabolism. I mean, it's just a wonderful, I could consume it regularly for medicinal purposes and then be buried in a week. And they served me this chicken that was really good. I thought, that's about as close as I'm going to get in this lifetime
yes,
to KFC.
Yes. Actually, we have the spice blend. We have a video coming out soon where we called it faux fried chicken. We used an air fryer, and you can actually use healthy fat and actually fry it as well. But we had a seasoning blend that we used, almond flour, or no, we used protein powder, a non-sweetened protein powder as the crust. And it was delicious. And that's even healthier, I bet, than the one you found. But it is that blend of, I think it's 26 seasonings, if I remember correctly. And so you can actually make your own.
Ah, yes.
There
well,
you go.
we will leave that right where it is. get me hungry. We're going to have to postpone. I've got to go. No. Actually, the other aspect of what I wanted to talk about in the other direction is there are three words in the title of your book that you and Robin have written. Wonderful words. And eat. And my father, 88 years old, or I should say young, although I'm hoping we're going to get a chance to see them this holiday season for the first time in years since we moved to Santa Barbara, 13 years, 14 years, something like that. Anyway, and he doesn't like it when I tell him that he's a very wise person because of many of the things that he says. But I say it anyway because I've tried to remember the wise sayings that were very positive in that respect. And one of them was, because the words in your book, eat and live. My father says, eat, drink, and be merry in moderation, because nobody gets out of this world alive. But it's the third word in your book title that I have been promoting almost from the beginning of this broadcast in 2007. And I came up with a new derivation of that word. We want to move from the survival mode. I got to tell you, I'm sick of it. I'm not even 60 yet, and I'm tired of surviving from day to day. It's getting ridiculous. And that's another area we're going to get into, by the way, is the consumption aspect of our lives, the stresses and so forth. But I want to move from the survival mode to the thrival mode. And that's really what you folks are talking about here. And yes, I know that it says here in the subtitle about a lifestyle plan to rev up your midlife metabolism. But how will this work for those who haven't quite reached it? And of course, where is the midlife? That's something else we'll talk about.
I know.
And those who have gone beyond it.
Yes, Richard, this plan actually works for everybody. The reason we say midlife is Robin, my co-author, is 53. I'm 67, and I'm a young 60. I mean, I don't feel 67. I don't look 60. I'm not bragging. I'm thankful. I think it's a combination, maybe 30% genetics and 70% the lifestyle I've had for many, many years. Although I struggled as a young woman, and I had emotional eating issues. I was bulimic, all sorts of stuff. But thank God I got through that and really have lived consistently quite healthfully since my 30s. But this plan works for everybody. But the reason we wrote it with especially midlife women in mind is women, as they age, you know, 40, 45, 50 and beyond with menopause and everything else, really have extra challenges. Everybody, man, woman, you know, doesn't matter. From about the age of 30 on, our carbohydrate metabolism starts to tank. There's also we lose muscle mass. Women, you know, of course, have less muscles than men anyway, and so our metabolisms go down. But we just recognize some of the things that were working for Robin and I in our 30s and 40s as we hit our late 40s and 50s. They weren't working anymore, and we have taken thousands and thousands of women through this program, and many of their husbands have gone along with them and done. In fact, it's frustrating because the men lose faster than the women because of their muscle mass and so forth, but it really does work for everybody. It's just that was our niche. That's who we coach the most. And yet, you know, we really want people to celebrate eating, but celebrate eating so that they can live a healthy life. And when you put those two things together, when you find the foods and the amount of foods and some substitutions, we have a lot of amazing recipes in the book that our readers say have made all the difference, because when they give up grains for a while or give up sugar almost permanently, we allow for like a tablespoon of either raw organic honey or pure maple syrup within the context of recipes every day. And that bumped up with some natural healthy sweeteners, they can still have the satisfaction. Yeah, they've got to prepare the things themselves. But we give some other recommendations too for some things that are already prepackaged or whatever. Not a lot, but a little bit. But people thrive when they feel great. I mean, think about it. Every single day you have is a gift. And how you feel impacts how you're going to enjoy that gift of these 24 hours on this planet. And when you have a headache, when you're exhausted, when you have gastric indigestion, when you have inflammation all over your body and your joints hurt, you cannot celebrate that gift of today. And so we know from experience, I mean, at 67, I feel like I'm 47, maybe. I move like that. It's huge. It makes life incredibly enjoyable and purposeful. And I know that's a lot of what you talk about. And so thriving is, you know, doing your part. About 30% of our health and wellness is out of our control, predominantly because of genetics. But 70% is in our control, and that's called lifestyle. How we eat most days, how we exercise, deal with stress, sleep, you know, the things we drink, the air we breathe, the pollutants that we are exposed to on a regular basis, all of that influences how we thrive.
You're sitting there listening, folks, and you're going, when's he going to get to the part where he tells us about how to do this? Well, there are two ways. One is to stay tuned after the break, because we're going to talk about some of the steps, some of the ways in which you can begin to eat, live, thrive to help to rev up your metabolism, whether it be midlife, early life, or late life. You can go to several different websites, and we're going to be linked to eatlivethrivediet.com. But you have an academy, and I think it's time to go back to school to learn how to take care of one's body. I was 15 years old, I have to tell you, Dana, and the thought went through my mind back then, though I'll be quite honest, I didn't necessarily, follow that, shall we say, prompting, that whatever I do now, even at 15, and I didn't think it was too late, at 15 years of age, I need to be careful what I put into my body because at 25, 35, 45, 65, 85, whatever, that's going to come back to haunt me. But there's sort of a built-in proviso that whenever you start to make the shift to take care of your body, it'll take you about 7 years to change your entire body. Because what do they say? It takes about 7 years for every single cell in the body to regenerate, something like that?
Yeah. I mean, the truth is, if we were to meet up 7 years from today, not one physical living cell on our body would be the same.
Yeah.
To include our skeletal system. However, of course, our skin, our blood cells, many parts of our body are regenerating daily, weekly, monthly. But that doesn't mean, however, I think people can get frustrated and think, oh, I've taken, you have a listener that's 45, 55, 65 plus, and they're going, well, it's just too late. No, it's never too late, because small things, small changes that are practiced consistently, the body responds. The body is a highly adaptable machine that is bent on survival and wants, I learned in nursing school, I was an RN for many years, the word homeostasis, which basically means balance. Your body is doing everything it can to bring you into balance, but your job is to give it the building blocks it needs. That's your food, that's your water, that, and the environment it needs. And so people, yes, everything really does count. And we're, I always say it's really neutral. You're either moving forward, doing something positive, or backward. There's hardly any neutral in this lifestyle. It's either good for you or maybe it's not.
Yeah.
But the consistency, and it doesn't have to be perfection either. That's another part of our approach, is so many people fail because they're all or nothing, black or white. It's on the program, it's off the program. And we try to teach people to realize that start where you're at and do what you can, and doing something is far better than doing nothing. And as you layer it one, step at a time and lock in some consistent change, your body will respond to you. Some people do great. They get on a program and they follow it to a T. But most people don't. And then they give up and quit, like, oh, I can't do this perfectly. Mm-hmm. I always say progress over perfection. In fact, we spend two chapters in the book on changing your habits from the inside out, dealing with your mindset, identifying your lies, because most people have a little bit of a concept, at least, of what to do to be healthier. Maybe not perfect, but they know a few things, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't know how to get themselves to do it consistently enough to make a difference. And that's part of our teaching, is to really acknowledge that. And I feel like so many of the breakthroughs we've helped with our clients, which are, really women, is overcoming these mental, emotional stumbling blocks, which is a huge part of long-term change.
Tell me about the Academy, the Eat, Live, Thrive Diet Academy. When did that start, and what's the curriculum?
Well, the curriculum is the diet, but the difference with the Academy, you can pick up the book and go through the program on your own, and that's wonderful. And you can get a few extra resources on eatlivethrivediet.com, all the downloadable worksheets and all that. But the Academy offers women a little extra support, in that we do two live coaching sessions every single week via Zoom, so they can come on via video and we see each other's faces. It's like a virtual coffee table. We've had people over in the UK and Australia and you know, Austria, I think, as well, of course, the States and Canada. And we meet up twice a week. And if people can't make a live, they can be on the phone if they don't want to show their faces on video. They don't have to be super high techy. And then we also record all these sessions so people that can't be on live can listen. And it's an opportunity for us to really do some coaching right then and there, answer questions, problem solve, encourage. We have a private Facebook page where Robin and I have, you know, quite a few social platforms, but that particular Facebook page is limited just to our members. And so we always give that our priority. We try to answer questions daily, interact, the women interact with each other. And then there's a private website, which is the Eat, Live, Thrive Academy, which has special video modules. It's just lots of extras. They get discounts on, you know, our store. We sell a lot of supplements that we personally take. So there's just quite a few benefits to help them just go to the next level.
When we return, we're going to talk about some other aspects of health and wellness with our special guest here on the program, talking about the latest, greatest, and we're not going to say diet in the context of fads. We're talking about, again, a lifestyle plan to rev up your midlife metabolism. Eat, Live, Thrive diet. And it's Donna Dimitri, and we are going to continue our conversation. I want to remind you folks that if you dropped to give me 20 and you haven't gotten to 20 yet, stop. Just cut it out. But also remember that if you would like to listen to this program in its entirety, highly recommend that you go to the podcasts, which are on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, Blueberry, and a bunch of other locations. And when you're listening to the SoundCloud interview, click on that little grocery cart up there. It'll take you to the website. And in this case, the website is going to be eatlivethrivediet.com, eatlivethrivediet.com. And you can find out more, get a copy of the book, get in contact with Donna and her co-author, Robin. I'm sure your exercise partner as well, and get more information. Also, if you'd like to support this program, you like what we're talking about here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and you'd like to support us financially, we do have PayPal and Patreon accounts, and we would love to have your support in that regard. And we would love to have your support by coming back to listen to the second segment here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We'll be right back.
Stories, I'll do my best to understand you.
And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you so much for joining us here on the program. And Don, I want to ask you, one of the things that went through my mind as we were talking, of course, earlier at the beginning of the first segment about exercise, my PE teacher in grade school, Mr. Bauer, I still remember him. It was a lot of fun. He had a funny way of counting. It's just bizarre. It took me a while to figure out what the heck he was doing. And it would be the equivalent, okay, everybody, we're doing jumping jacks and we're doing 10 sets. Okay, here we go. 1, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 4, 1, 9, 1, 10, 1. 2-1, 2-2, 2-3. I was like, what the hell? And then, of course, I realized it was the rounds. And so we were doing 100 jumping jacks or whatever the heck it was. And of course, this aspect of Eat, Live, Thrive and this lifestyle modification, as I'd like to call it, that doesn't take a lot of heavy math. I mean, it's really quite simple. And that is that what you take into your body through all five senses, is going to have an impact on it and on your future. Let's talk about the impact aside from food and drink from the other aspects. And more in particular, let's say we'll call them the psychological impacts of our world. I have heard it said, correct me if I am wrong, but I have heard it said that if you are a worrier, if you worry a lot, you fret about things, and sometimes things, and 90% of what we worry about never happens. that it actually, in your metabolism, causes your body to hold on to fat?
Well, actually what happens with stress is we release cortisol. And cortisol is the fat-storing hormone. And so when we're under, it could be emotional, mental, emotional, physical stress. So any form of stress can raise those cortisol levels. And of course, the older we get, the less resilient we are. And that's why you often find people that are kind of under chronic variety of stresses that, guess where they gain weight the most? In the middle. And so, yes, you know, we have an interconnection of body, soul, and spirit, and our mind greatly impacts our physicality and our body chemistry and everything else. In fact, we highlight a story in the book called a study called Mind Over Milkshake, and to illustrate just how powerfully the mind can impact the body's chemistry. Alia Crum is a PhD from Stanford who did most of her research in the placebo effect. And she decided to do this study where she made a huge concoction of a milkshake. And she took this vanilla milkshake and she divided it in half, and half of it she labeled indulgence. And it was like 600 calories and tons of sugar. And then she labeled the other side, what was it called? Sensa shake. And it was zero sugar, low fat, and like 300 calories. So she divided her subjects and she had each of them see the label, drink their shake, and she measured what's called their ghrelin level. Ghrelin is the hunger hormone. And when the hunger hormone, when we eat a satisfying meal, it will drop dramatically. So she gives people the shake. She measures their ghrelin before and after. And interestingly, the ones who drank the indulgent shake, their ghrelin levels dropped like 3, 4, 5 times more than the ones that drank Sensa shake. However, they were all drinking the same thing. That's the power of the mind and the perception, and whether you want to call it stress or whatever, to body physiology.
Did you see the 60 Minutes piece some time ago on the placebo effect?
I don't recall, no. But yeah. I mean, it's a powerful, interesting, yeah. You know, it's a very interesting thing. Our, you know, it's not just our thoughts. It is our, perceptions, our thoughts. But, you know, we're not just, our thoughts are not just impacting our emotions and our behavior. They're impacting our body chemistry. Mm-hmm. And so that is why, you know, we can learn to manage stress better, mm-hmm. better through our thoughts, through deep breathing, through relaxation techniques. And of course, exercise, you're starting to bring up exercise, is a great stress release. It's a great way to bring some balance and release some positive hormones like our endorphins that make us feel better and feel some physical release.
Yeah. And exercise is not going from the easy chair in front of the TV to the refrigerator to get something to eat to go back to the easy chair. That's not exercise, folks. not gonna cut it. But the placebo effect in this piece was so fascinating to me because, as you said, in your example, there were two containers. They were labeled differently and you had your two groups and so forth. And I'm guessing that neither group knew which that they were taking.
No, they didn't know. They saw the label, and that's what influenced them, their perception.
All right. Well, here's what's interesting.
It was the same thing.
The people in this story in group A were given the actual medication. Group B were given the placebo, and they were told that they were taking a placebo. Mm-hmm. They were told, no, this is not the real medication. This is a placebo. And it actually had an impact, going to what you just said about how powerful our minds are.
Yes.
It's extraordinary.
Absolutely. It is. And it's exciting, but it also gives you pause to think, okay, so what are the things I'm thinking? How am I influencing myself? I mean, I really believe when it comes to healing and recovering from disease or surgery or whatever, how you perceive how your body's doing does make a difference. And it's not just the power of positive thinking, but there's something physiological, you know, there is a physiological response to our mindset.
Yeah. I encourage people to pick up a copy of Eat, Live, Thrive Diet. Again, it's a lifestyle plan to rev up your midlife metabolism, regardless of your age. By the way, I've got you beat. you say you're, what'd you say, 63, 65, 67? What was that now?
67.
60. And again, you don't look it. You don't look like the old lady that I knew back when I was in my 30s. And you feel like you're in your 30s.
I would say 40s.
I got you beat. I feel like I'm 17. Okay.
Well, there you go.
And the only downside is that my physical body keeps saying, no, don't do that.
Well, I'm not saying mentally, I'm saying physically, I feel. Yes. But yes.
Well, and it is quite extraordinary. I'll be honest with you. It is really phenomenal what we feel on the inside as well as the outside. And I mean, and as we speak right now, you know, I'm feeling very good physically. I have no aches or pains, and I'm very happy about that. It's kind of nice to you know, not feel that way. And and that's not to say that every day is that way, because some mornings I might wake up and, oh, my foot, the ball of my foot, it's a little tender this morning. Not sure why. Or a knuckle in my hand is a little swollen. And I've, okay, could be. But there's one aspect of it that I continually remind myself of, and I think this is going to the psychological aspect that we're talking about here. I've been diagnosed and have been since I moved to Santa Barbara, which is kind of ironic because they say I'm living in paradise, so why would I have so much stress that would cause me to be diagnosed with high blood pressure?
Mm-hmm.
They took all of the fluids they needed to when I was diagnosed, and I said, you're not going to find anything there. And guess what? They didn't. I said, that's not where the problem is. It's up here in my head. Okay. And I've also been saying it's temporary. This is just a phase I'm going through. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like puberty. This is just a phase, in spite of what my mother says, that high blood pressure runs in the family. And I'm going, okay, it may run in the family, but I'm going to believe that I was adopted. Okay.
Well, as I said before, only 30% is genetic, and you can influence that greatly by your lifestyle, obviously.
Now, that's another aspect, genetics. And of course, now there's all kinds of testing before, you know, parents have kids to see what kind of genetics are going to pass on. I mean, we have the DNA, which is supposedly that information. What about that aspect of altering? And again, we did say earlier about, you know, every 7 years, basically, you have a whole new body. You are not the person you were 7 years ago, quite literally. What about that aspect? Because I've challenged certain people on this program in health and wellness, as we've talked about it, about cell regeneration. You know, when you cut your, say you cut your hand, and after 3, 4, 5 weeks, it's healed up to where you don't even see that you ever cut it. I have had, past tense, glaucoma in my left eye. I lost the vision in my left eye. And yet the cells there are regenerating. Why aren't they regenerating back to a healthy eye? So this is the dynamic I want to talk about in terms of going through that, say, 7-year cycle, trying to do the right things for our metabolism as well as our psychology. To, and I'm not saying regenerate my eye back to where I can see again, but just in terms of maybe regenerating healthier cells.
Well, there's so many. I'm not an expert in genetics by any means, and there, you know, that's quite a vast field. But you know, you look at why do cancer cells propagate sometimes? You know, sometimes in people and not in others. Most experts feel like it's definitely an immunity issue, and almost everybody's fighting cancer all the time, but something's off, and the body loses the battle because the cancer takes over. And it could, you know, there's so many factors. Why do we have any form of disease? Some of it is, you know, I think you said earlier, one thing we know, and we only have limited time on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Our bodies are degenerating. In fact, some years ago, there was only one absolutely scientifically proven way to increase our longevity, and it was by eating less food. That has been established for quite a few years, and they've done studies on that and so forth. But in more recent years, the discovery of telomeres, which is the tail end of our DNA, and how they can break off. And the more they break off, the faster we're aging. And there's all these lifestyle things we can do to improve the health of our telomeres. So we're kind of talking about, you know, aging and, I mean, a young person could be diseased, but we do know statistically as we age, we become more and more susceptible. As these cells get older, but so much is what have we been doing to keep those cells healthy. And of course, food and eating properly is one of the number one things we can do. I've often said, you know, food can be the cause of many of our diseases, but it can also be the cure. So I'm not a geneticist. I can't answer all those questions of, wait, what went wrong with those cells in my eye that they have lost their programming? They are not doing what they were supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Now they're generating a counterfeit or a damaged version of what they should be. But if you really study some of these things, I think this is what's exciting in science and medicine right now is we are discovering things we can do to not only prevent, but sometimes reverse some of these disease processes. And it's very exciting and it's complicated and you have to do a lot of study, but I think there's a lot of hope. And I just will not give in to just the genetic side. Oh, well, my family has high blood pressure too. I have it on occasion as well. I handle it naturally. I find things like CBD oil and some other natural products that naturally bring blood pressure down. I'm not going to take a bunch of blood pressure medications, you know, and so I think there's healthy ways to handle it. Yeah. But yeah, our body doesn't always do what it's supposed to do for a variety of reasons, and part of it is simply aging.
You're familiar with the, and again, not the specifics, not the whole genre, if you will, but you're familiar with the concept of cloning and how they say that for example, if you make a copy of someone, all right, the first generation, it's okay. But if you keep making a copy from the copy from the copy from the copy as you move along, it's, for example, like if you're making a copy on a copy machine and you take the copy, you put it in there and you copy that. Then you take that one out, the new copy, and you put it in there and you make a copy of that. Eventually, you're not even going to be able to see what's on the paper. Well,
right.
I would think that the same theory would apply with cell regeneration and the kinds of foods that we take into foods and beverages that we take into our body. That if the foods that we're taking into our body are healthy and to use this term, are alive. For example, I just picked that orange off the tree. I'm now peeling it and eating it. That fruit is alive, and it's really going to go to town, as opposed to buying fruit roll-ups in the middle of the grocery store. Okay,
yes.
It's an orange and it's got a 10% real fruit juice. Yeah, but how is that? How is that helping your building blocks, those cells, to regenerate to at least equal to, if not a greater, healthier state? And it's not. So
no.
To me, that cloning process of copy, the copy, the copy, the copy, I think is quite apropos in this instance if you want to regenerate at least equal to healthy cells.
I mean, you've heard the cliche forever, you are what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your body is programmed. It knows exactly what it needs to do. It knows it needs to make new red blood cells. You know, they're regenerating all the time, new skin cell, new muscle. It knows exactly. It's programmed. Now, does that program break sometimes? Yes, because our bodies are flawed and whatever. But it only can take the building materials that you give it to regenerate those cells. I've always said you can't build a brick house out of straw.
No.
You know, well, you can't build a healthy body out of lattes and chocolate chip cookies. And so that's why we have a philosophy. We call it the 90-10 rule. And it's a loose rule. It could even be 80-20 if you're starting kind of in a really unhealthy nutritional state. And that is 90% of what you put in your mouth every day is feeding your body super nutrient dense you know, enriching things that it can rebuild well. And 10% can be just for fun. Now, you know, that's not a lot, but if you had a Ferrari and you know, it needs the highest octane fuel available. If you put in a 16-gallon tank, 15 gallons of high octane fuel and 1 gallon of regular, your Ferrari's probably going to run okay. But the American diet is more like 50% lowest grade fuel and maybe 50% medium grade. And it's not running so great. And the longer you put the inadequate fuel into that machine, the more you're breaking down, you know, the inner workings of it. It was designed for perfection and fast performance, but it's not getting what it needs.
And that's where what we talked about in the first segment comes in, kinesiology, I believe, or one's own intuition and trusting it. And I think that's the biggest thing of all, is that we are so easily, I'm going to use the word, manipulated by the outside world. And when I say outside world, outside of us as an individual. And we are taught not to trust the voice on the inside, that when we are prompted and prompted and prompted and still we take in the 50-50 diet, as you've described, and then we wonder what happened. What went wrong? I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me, you know? Although you and I both know that there are people, and it's a great frustration and almost an excuse on the part of those who aren't doing something, putting that high-performance fuel in, we see and hear about individuals who've, let's say, been vegetarians all their lives, or they've been doing this, they've been taking that, they've been doing all what seem to be all the right things, and they die early. And it's not because they were hit by a car or a truck or a bus, you know?
No,
it's because they get some disease, they get some dis-ease, some ailment, and so forth, that quote-unquote they had no control over. You know, I lived next to Chernobyl, and ergo, that's why I have six toes now. so how do we get people to understand that is not the norm? That is more of the exception to the rule, that, yes, you can do this. You can eat, live, and thrive. And you can soup up your metabolism by rev it up by changing your lifestyle and your food and beverage habits and your exercise habits, but that is still no guarantee. And that takes me to this one phrase, and then I want you to elaborate on this. And that is, we keep hearing this phrase, especially when we hear about the economy. They'll say, blah, 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 in these uncertain times. And I want to know when we were in certain times. So when it comes to our health and wellness and eat, live, thrive, there are no guarantees. There is no certainty. All you can do is the best you can do, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's you do the right things for the right reasons. I always say, do the right things for the right reasons. Trust God with the results. I mean, you can't control everything, but you can influence a lot. And, you know, we heard of, I think it was Jim Fix back in the 70s, a massive, popular long distance runner, and he dropped dead of a heart attack. You know, it's like there are no guarantees, no absolutes. But I can tell you absolutely, if you take poor care of yourself and eat poorly, you won't be as vital as most people who take care of themselves. Now, we know there's exceptions to that, too. The person who, you know, smokes and overdrinks and eats junky food their whole life and lives to 105. But that is the exception as much as the contrast that we just talked about, the, you know, super healthy marathon runner that drops dead of a heart attack. Those are exceptions to the rule, in quotes. And so I just think it's about wisdom and, you know, the quality of life. And truly, I mean, I've seen it so many times in the women that we're coaching. We've had women in their, say, mid-50s that feel like they're old. They've gotten on our program and practiced it for 6 months, a year. Yeah, they lost weight, but in addition to that, they literally will say, I feel 10 years younger than I did 10 years ago when I was struggling with all this because the inflammation has come down in my body. I've lost the weight. I have more vitality. I have way more energy and my mind is clearer. So, you know, it's like, what do you have to lose?
Yeah.
If you try a healthy eating plan, and of course, all of us like to look our best, but it comes with not all diets. I think there's a lot of diets where all you're doing is losing weight and you're not getting healthier at all. In fact, you're compromising your health.
Yeah.
Our whole thing is that's why it is eat well, eat to enjoy. Enjoy the food you are eating. Just be mindful of choosing. You can have anything you want anytime you want it. You're choosing not to have certain foods because you've discovered they are holding you back from ultimate health. But there's so many other good ones to choose from. So you're living fully because you feel better, which then means you can thrive and make an impact in this world for the you know, years that you're blessed to be on this earth.
Yeah. You know, you use the example of putting premium fuel into that Ferrari doing the same thing for the body. But the biggest difference between those two examples is that when you go pull up to the pump and you pull out that nozzle and put it into the tank and start filling her up, you're not really thinking much about it other than, okay, I'm going to have a full tank and I can go further. And something you just said is, I think, extremely important. And that is that we don't enjoy our food. We just take it in. Oh, I'm hungry. I've got to eat something. You grab a piece of pizza or a hamburger or whatever it is. And you may not wolf it down like you're starving, but you don't really enjoy it. One of my favorite things that I came across when I moved to Santa Barbara was seared ahi tuna. And I was introduced to it through these little hors d'oeuvres that were prepared for this one party that we were at. And I thought, wow, this is good. This is not like the tuna that I'm familiar with, like in the can. And I thought, wow, this is great. And then we went to a restaurant and I ordered one of the steaks, one of the ahi tuna steaks, seared. And it was seasoned and everything. And it wasn't just the flavor of the seasonings and the tuna, it was the texture. So when I eat that tuna, when I do have it, I take a bite and I just sit there and I just slowly chew it and feel it in my mouth and experience the textures. It's more the texture of that food than it is the flavors that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'd enjoy sushi. I don't know. I haven't tried raw fish, but
I think eating can be a full experience. And you're right. I think so often I call it mindless eating.
Yeah.
Because, you know, not everybody does it, but we eat for so many different reasons. And so often it's not because we're hungry and it's not always to, you know, it's to fill our bellies, but not always nourish ourselves. And so it's a combination of so many things, finding those foods that are one good for you, that taste great, that, like you said, you sit down and you experience every bit of it. How does it smell? How does it look? How does it feel? And yes, of course, how does it taste? And I do think when we become mindful and slow eaters, we can get so much more satisfaction. And of course, chewing more, slowing down everything it helps the digestive process, helps us really get the most out of the nutrition. And you made another comment, you know, talked about when we're filling up our tank, there's no enjoyment there. It's just filling up the tank.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the other thing, a part of that metaphor or analogy is when we're filling up at a gas station and what happens when that tank is full if you don't release the nozzle? Where does all that gasoline go?
Yeah,
right on your shoes,
yeah.
Right? But what's the difference with the human body? Our body goes, oh, I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to store it in my fuel tanks called fat cells.
Mm.
And so that's why, you know, we have to be not only mindful of enjoying and the food that we're putting in, the quality of it, but also the quantity of it. Because when we eat more than we can sufficiently utilize, our body will store it for us. It's like, I'm not going to waste one drop, but we're walking around with these excess fuel tanks that are really weighing us down.
Yeah. When I went to weigh myself a couple, 3 years ago, and I got on the scale and it hit 200, and I'm 5'9". And I'm not, I don't have a huge belly, but I do have one. And it was that number was uncomfortable to me more psychologically than physically. I'm going, that's not me. Mm-hmm. That is not, I don't want that number. And of course, my wife gave me a little encouragement of sorts. She said, well, you do realize you are weighing yourself fully clothed. I said, okay, you can not. So it's, but nonetheless, that's how I was weighing myself regardless when I was in my, 175 to 190 or 195. So I do take that into consideration. But it is that whole psychological thing. And that's one of the reasons why I do my best. But I think here's another aspect that I'd like for us to touch on before we wrap this up, because I know we're getting close on time. And that is the aspect of taking on something like Eat, Live, Thrive, and trying to make those changes. And as you just said, you know, you could take baby steps, you know, do something, do a little something today and then a little bit more tomorrow and so forth. And that if we do fall back, for example, if I do say, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get the can of soda today, because, and a lot of times I'll only drink half of it and I throw the rest away. Okay. So I'm looking for the tiny cans. I'm looking for the real tiny, the 4 ounce cans, if I can find it. Drink half of that, and it's even less. And when I do have a soda in a restaurant, I say ice to the top. That reduces the volume of soda. But in terms of these cravings that come across, what's that all about from your perspective in the context of Eat, Live, Thrive?
I think it's different for different people, Richard. I think there are people, you know, we talk about so many people have, you know, sugar cravings or whatever. I'm a salt craving person. So part of it's physiology, part of it's psychology, you know, the things that we like. I think it can be emotional. It can be physical. So there's a lot of layers to what our cravings about. And I do think for a lot of us, there's, it's that programming that says, I need, I want, I like, you know, I've changed my perspective on so many foods over the years that, again, I believe we should legalize all food in our mind to say I can have, like I said earlier, I can have anything I want anytime I want it, but you change your perception of it. So, you know, I do think there's some people that are literally sugar addicted. Physiologically in the human brain, sugar can act almost like heroin and literally light up so many centers in the brain that you just, the minute you put it in there, it's like more, 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 or that you crave it, you know, all the time. And we have found that for some people, not all, but for some, just removing sugar completely is the only answer because of the way they're wired. Mm. For others, it's a psychological thing. They eat for comfort. They eat when they're sad. They eat when they're lonely, whatever. And then they have to work on that healthy self-talk, that identifying and finding other ways to self-soothe. You know, the immediate gratification of eating these foods, they pay the price for, so they find some other ways. And so I think it's complex, too complex to say it's just this.
Sure.
But I do find when people can balance their blood sugar by eating healthfully, when they can have healthy alternatives, when they can work on their healthy self-talk and also discover for themselves, especially when it comes to the sugar, because again, sugar is different than some other foods. And remembering that simple carbohydrates, whether it's a potato, a piece of bread, or, you know, a sugary candy bar, those other simple carbohydrates turn to sugar quickly in the body. So it doesn't always have to taste sugar. It's that super simple carbohydrate thing that can be the same as the sugar. I think as people learn what their threshold is, then they can have they'll realize they have better control than they thought.
And you know, I think one of the keys that you the key things that you just said in that whole piece of information that you gave, make all foods legal. Now, we're talking as an individual in your mind, all foods are legal. Because as you've alluded to, when you start saying, no, I can't have that, and I can't have that, and I can't have that, what happens in our minds is then when you tell a child, don't do something, what do they do? they go and do it.
Right.
Well,
right.
You're telling yourself, don't eat that. So what are you going to do? You're going to push yourself. You're going to keep pushing and pushing. Ah, it's okay. I haven't had it in weeks or days or whatever it is. This little bit isn't going to hurt anything. And you justify it. And again, that's okay. And again, this is the other aspect of it, of beating ourselves up when we slip. Well, you can't slip if there's nothing to slip on, right?
Right. Yeah. It's choosing. It's choosing. It's saying, I'm choosing this for this reason, not because I can't, because I don't want to, because I want something better for myself. Yeah.
It's like with me with drugs, not pharmaceuticals necessarily, but, the experimental drugs that kids and young adults, well, of course, now, of course, you've got marijuana that's legal almost across the country, legal in the individual states, not on a federal level. But then there are all kinds of other hallucinogenic drugs that are out there, too, that people are taking. Well, it never interested me. It wasn't because it was illegal. I just wasn't interested. I've only tried, and this was back in my 30s, I've only tried marijuana twice. And both times I'm going, I'd rather have a beer. You know, it didn't really do anything for me, right? And of course, this is a whole nother subject for another time. There's only one hallucinogen that I would really be interested in trying because I've seen documentaries on it, and I've actually had interviews with people who use it in their practice, and that's what's called ayahuasca. It's supposed to be, again, you use it in a safe and controlled environment and so forth. But I think that that's the biggest thing that we can do for ourselves. Be kind to oneself. Make all foods legal. And be kind when you choose to, when I choose to reach in and have that soda, you know. And as I said, I'll get my fix through half a can or a third of a can. And the rest goes in the trash. And I'm going, I feel pretty good. I had my fill. I had my little fix. And I don't need any more. And
there you go.
And that to me is working out really well. Dana, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program. Dana Dimitri and your co-author, too. She must be out running a marathon or something. She wasn't able to join us.
Yeah.
She's revving up her metabolism. And you're co-authors of Eat, Live, Thrive Diet. It is a lifestyle plan to rev up your midlife metabolism. We encourage you to go to the websites. We will be linked to eatlivethrivediet.com. You can also go to Lean Healthy Aging Ageless, leanhealthyageless.com, and eatlivethriveacademy.com. By the way, when do classes open up again? Is it in January at the beginning of the...
It's always open.
It's an online course, basically.
It's online, and here's the thing. It's crazy affordable.
Crazy affordable, folks. Do you hear that?
$9.95 a month.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Now, that's $999 a month. No.
Because we wanted it to be a resource that any woman could access, no matter what her budget was. And we do some one-on-one higher-end coaching.
Now,
but this particular program is, you know, that's just where our heart is.
Now, do you do any work with men at this point, or is it right now predominantly with women?
Just women, and they can, you know, they can certainly share with the men in their lives, but we don't coach men.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Women are a specialty. When it comes to the coaching side.
Wonderful. And I'm encouraged by that, because I'm sick and tired of coming across women who are wounded and they're damaged and they're all of these different things. And usually it's because of men. I have to tell you that coming to that realization in my 20s made me ashamed to be a man, because it's like my half of the species is not treating the other half with the kindness that it should be treated with, that they should be treated with. But we thank you so much for giving us so much time. And should you and Robin find yourselves out here in the Santa Barbara area, we would love to have you in studio to continue this conversation. And by the way, you don't look a day over 45 in your photographs here. So,
well, thank you. And they're very recent, and thank you.
Yeah, you almost look like sisters, except she has the blonde hair.
So, yes.
But it's very good. Before we let you go, again, I want to remind our listeners to go to eatlivethrivediet.com and find out more about the academy and the work that these two are doing. And also a reminder that you should listen to the podcast. The entire interview is there. We went on much more than the 50 minutes that you heard on the radio broadcast. So please go to the podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Spotify, and a whole bunch of others. And if you'd like to support what we're doing, we do have a PayPal and Patreon account available. They're on the homepage as well as the radio, missions page. So please go there and help us out if you can. And thank you for those who have and who for those who are going to. Before we let you go, three final questions for you. First question is, and boy, I hope I've been getting this correct during the broadcast. Who is Donna Dimitri?
Who is? Well, I'm a multifaceted woman. I'm a professional health and wellness person, but I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I'm a woman of God, and I'm a woman that really, really loves pouring into other people's lives.
Number two, what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I mean, we just love seeing people have breakthroughs, long-term, lasting, sustainable health and wellness and balance in their lives. That's what we hope. We hope to reach as many people as possible. And again, this book is for everybody. It was written with women in mind, but it can influence everybody's life to have a healthier life and have a more thriving life.
And finally, number three, what is your life's purpose?
To bring glory to God.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Donna Dimitri, for joining us on the program, for sharing with us the Eat, Live, Thrive diet, because each one of those elements is extremely important. We won't live if we don't eat, and if we're living, we should be able to achieve thrival. And we are glad that you are, so to speak, you're on our team, because we can use everyone that we can get to help to make this world a better place for everybody. And I have learned over the last few years, especially, how important one's health can be as they get older. And I mean, I still chuckle when I look at my driver's license, or I think about my age, 59, be 60 next year. And I just like, really? You know, and I think back to my high school days and even grade school and those kinds of things. I'm going, wow, how did I get here? You know?
1 year at a time, right, Richard?
That's it right there. Well, again, thank you, Donna, for joining us here on the program. And I thank you for joining us for Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And until next time, love to Lal.